No pain in Kemba's knee. That's a good update. Plus, someone snitched on Dwight Howard. I love you. And we finish the 2014-15 season on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Raina J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here, Mass Live, saying thank you very much for tuning in, downloading, making the show part of your daily routine. I really do appreciate it. I say it every day, but I do mean it. I really do mean it. The fact that you have taken this time to download this show, make it part of your routine, to listen to it daily. Hopefully you're listening to it daily. I really do love that. Thanks for checking out my stuff at masslive.com/Celtics. The Boston Celtics, like the rest of the NBA, now in the bubble, and they're providing daily updates after they practice. It's still a little tough, to be honest with you, to get the information to try and figure out what's happening behind these closed doors. The media is not allowed in there. And as I've said on multiple podcasts, that's not a complaint. I understand. I definitely don't want any people in there that could potentially screw things up. And adding the media, having them hanging around, I understand. That's too much. But the trade-off is we're getting like little piecemeal stuff and we can't see what's happening out there. We can't experience this job. We can't have the same experience that we normally have when we walk into a practice and we're able to kind of ask questions and probe and follow up and have a good scrum. Normally we're just kind of like surround Brad Stevens. We can't have that where we could just follow up or I can ask 2, 3, 4 questions if I feel like I need to. Basically, you get 1 or 2 questions and you go around the Zoom call and it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to see what people's reactions are going to be. So I say all this because every show, it seems, has another update with Kemba Walker's knee. It's confusing a little bit. We're unclear on what the discomfort really is. We haven't been able to talk to Kemba since he's been down there. So it's kind of, we're trying to extract what we can. So on Wednesday, the Boston Celtics practiced. Kemba Walker did not practice. But he, on the Celtics off day Tuesday, did go through, according to Brad Stevens, an individual workout where things felt good. Key points out of this. The discomfort that he felt in his knee after the individual workouts appear to be gone. That appears to be gone. Or minimized. Like, I'm still not 100% clear. He says that Kemba's knee feels great. He says there is no pain. But because of the discomfort, they're taking a different approach to Kemba's knee. And they're going every other day. So he practiced Tuesday on his own. Wednesday off, Thursday the team is practicing, which means every other day Kemba should practice. So Thursday, when the Celtics have media availability, which by the way is going to be at like late at night because of this crazy schedule that they've got going on down there, Celtics got a late slot on one of the practice courts. So we're not going to find out till much later in the evening that what happened with Kemba. Now, Brad, in his answers, kind of, I don't want to say he was annoyed by it, but I think what he's trying to relay to us and how we're taking it and how it's being disseminated, I feel like Brad is trying to say a certain thing, but the way he says it, the way he has to say it, a little vague, without any definitive like timeline or anything, he says things, and when we say it and when we relay that information, it sounds concerning. He does not seem concerned. So he says, Every expectation is that he's going to play when the games start. Now, there's going to be a minutes restriction and all that, but he said it feels pain-free. So there's no pain in Kemba's knee. So it's just all about strengthening. It's all about going through a process that ramps him up so he can get to where he needs to be for the playoffs. There's no expectation, according to Brad Stevens, that this isn't going to go the way the Celtics think. He feels like that this is the plan. They're going to execute the day on, day off plan, and they're going to ramp him up so he can eventually play. So that's the best I can tell you. The facts that I know them as right now, Kemba's knee does not hurt. Kemba's knee needs to be stronger. They're going to work on making Kemba's knee stronger through this plan. And however that works out is how it works out. I don't know what else to tell you. That's all I know at the moment. The other bit of news out of the media availability on Wednesday, I asked Marcus Smart about his side effects from COVID. He was asymptomatic when he got diagnosed. He never felt any symptoms. He's still not feeling any symptoms. That's a good thing. He says lungs are fine, heart is fine. As far as we know, no side effects. The virus came and went and apparently didn't leave any real trace behind other than the antibodies in his blood. So hopefully that remains the case and there's no thing that sits there and rears its ugly head down the road. But Marcus Smart says he's fine, feels just like he did before the shutdown, no big deal. That's the Celtics news. I did see, and it was tweeted at me by @TruthFaustino, shout out Eddie, Dwight Howard says he was reported on the snitch hotline for not wearing a mask. Yes, yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. And why I love it is because players are taking it seriously. And this is a conversation that I had with Jake Madison on the Wednesday Locked On NBA. If you want to check that out, that extended conversation, we both agreed that the players who are snitching are taking this seriously. And we call it the snitch line. That has a negative connotation. It's whatever you want to call it. The snitch line is by far the funnier way to call it, funnier thing to call it. It's certainly worth the jokes. But whomever snitched on Dwight, I want to shake your hand virtually. Certainly can't do it physically. I'll buy you maybe like one of those edible arrangements or something like that where they like put the cantaloupe and bananas and stuff in a little bouquet like that. I'll send you one of those. I'll order you lunch from one of the pre-approved places down in Orlando. Show yourself. Make yourself known, hero. That is important that these guys are taking it seriously and saying, hey, Dwight's being an idiot walking around without a mask. And they call him out and boom, he gets dinged. I don't know what kind of punishment he's got, but I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that players are taking it seriously enough to say, we're not going to sit here and watch this guy go around, flout the rules, and you know, put the rest of us at risk. Now, I know that everybody's been tested, and theoretically, everybody should be negative, and so it shouldn't matter. Like, everybody should theoretically be able to just walk around free and just have this nice little 3 months of, hey, no worries, doesn't matter. We're all COVID-free. We keep getting tested. There's nothing. But because we don't know how any little one thing can get in there, we just don't know, attached to a bus, somebody on a bus, somebody didn't clean something right, something in one of the gyms, you just don't know how it can sneak in. And if one person has it and everybody's being, you know, lazy with the restrictions, then it can shut the whole thing down. If the whole thing shuts down, as I've said a bunch of times in this podcast, chaos ensues. Who knows what happens with the league? Who knows what happens with the rest of the season? They shut down the rest of the season? Fine. Okay. Then what happens with the collective bargaining agreement? What happens with players' contracts? What happens with the Boston Celtics if Gordon Hayward opts into a $32 million year, but all of a sudden the salary cap drops significantly and their luxury tax goes through the roof? How does that impact the team? What happens there? And what happens, like I've said a bunch of times, to all the people in the surrounding orbit of the NBA? Who gets to keep their jobs? You know, and I'm one of them. I've said it before. I'm one of them. If the NBA shuts down, who knows? And it's not just me. It's people like me. Maybe I'm safe, but other people, how many outlets are going to keep both of their NBA reporters? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I get lucky. But that's certainly a concern of mine. And I'm not the only person who's got concerns like that. I know plenty of people have faced much worse. So, but hey, that's a concern. So wear your damn mask, Dwight. And if he doesn't, I would just have like people just constantly watching Dwight Howard and just keep him in check. I love the fact that they're taking it seriously. Keep that thing intact. Keep the bubble intact. I believe that you guys can do it down there. I believe in you. I also believe in rockauto.com if you're going to get something for your car, because we know walking into one of those strip malls, to one of those chain auto parts stores, you go in there looking for something, that guy's going to tick away on his computer. He's going to find a brand that he has in stock over there, and he's going to give you whatever the hell it is that they have, and you're going to have to pay whatever price it is that they give you. Rockauto.com? No, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to answer a ton of questions to have that guy enter into the computer. You know your car. You can enter it yourself. Why spend 30, 50, 100% more for the same part there as you can get on rockauto.com? You can save a bunch. They have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. That's not right. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. They don't change based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket. RockAuto.com is for everybody. No membership, no login. Just go get what you need. From advanced things like parts for your engine or something like taillights, motor oil, everything. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We're back to wrap up the 2014-15 season. We're getting to the point now where Isaiah Thomas becomes a member of the Boston Celtics. Here's the rest of my conversation with Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. The Celtics now have Shav Randolph, who I recall having a moment. He wasn't good, but I remember Shav Randolph having a no, maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
The only thing I remember about Shavlik Randolph was he elbowed Kelly Olynyk in the eye during practice, and Kelly had the worst split eye I've ever seen. It was horrible. Horrible.
Kelly that, might no, what ha- that might be what I was
no
thinking of.
No cover boy in the first place, but with that eye, whoa.
Hey now.
Sorry. Just trying to inject a little levity.
Yeah, I know. I was a fan of his silken hair and actually, but I was mostly a fan of the faces that he made riding the flume at Canobie Lake Park. That was Kelly Olynyk's high point. Yeah. I did indeed misspeak. Shavlik Randolph did nothing for the Celtics. He was inactive most of the time. But that, I knew Shavlik had a something, and it might have been that Kelly Olynyk moment, or maybe he went to China and had a good run in China. I remember speaking about him at some point, and I was like, I can't believe Shavlik Randolph is doing this. I don't know. Or maybe I'm thinking of him from 2013. This is horrible radio. But
well, there's so many guys coming and going, it's hard to keep track of.
Even when
it's right there on the paper in front of you.
Yeah. I recall. I remember this now. Now I got it. God, this is terrible. I'm not going to edit any of this out. It was 2013. And in a loss to Cleveland, he had 16 points, 7 rebounds. And it was like, whoa, where did Shavlik Randolph pull that off? So that was the moment that he had. So I was not wrong that he had the moment. It was just not in this particular season. But he did have some overseas success. Like, he's the type of player that just couldn't do anything here, but was like averaging like 20 points a game at, you know, some Chinese club or something. So
that game for him was like James Young scored 13 points for us.
Yes.
Right? Same kind of thing. That was a moment. He had a moment.
He had only that moment. That's right. I apologize to everyone for this amount of Shav Randolph talk. It was not my intent to devolve this much of the podcast into Shavlik Randolph talk.
Especially because now we're up to the real, real big trade.
Are we not? We are indeed. Hey, remember when I said the Celtics got Marcus Thornton in the first round pick for nothing? Well, they flipped nothing to Phoenix to get Isaiah Thomas, which was the real masterstroke of this season. That Isaiah Thomas was the Celtics did the, basically for a second round pick. And Isaiah Thomas at this point was part of a weird Phoenix lineup. Phoenix had done this stupid three-headed point guard thing with Isaiah Thomas and what's his name? He's now in Miami. God, I can't believe I just drew a blank. I'm so this is just
your head is spinning from Danny's transaction.
It is, and I'm sitting there like, God, I'm losing track
Goran
of
Dragic.
Everything.
Goran Dragic,
yes, and Eric Bledsoe. So they had Eric Bledsoe, Isaiah Thomas, and Goran Dragic, and I couldn't figure out what the hell are they doing with these three point guards, and so they end up basically getting rid of all of them. So Phoenix, just as an aside, Ryan McDonough was the GM there, Danny Ainge's protege. Like, what the hell are you doing? But lucky for the Celtics that they had this fire sale, Isaiah Thomas comes in. And maybe the most fun part of the Isaiah Thomas story is that he gets ejected in his first game, and it happens to come in Los Angeles against the Lakers. And immediately he becomes a hero in Boston.
Yes. And he was killing it that night too. He was having a great game, and it's really a shame that he got thrown out. But yeah, it did help, get the fans behind him, I think.
Totally. Now the Celtics, at this point, are, you know, struggling. They're better. Like last year, they had won 25 games. They had already now eclipsed 25 wins. But Isaiah Thomas comes in, after that loss, the Celtics whip off three straight wins. Then they have a five game winning streak, in March. And then they close the season on a six game winning streak, beating decent teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. And Cleveland was, I think, resting guys and stuff. And still, the Celtics won six straight games. And all of a sudden, they go from kind of on the borderline play. They end up getting the seventh seed in this. And now we can roll in the Brad Stevens effect and the impact that. So Brad Stevens is rolling with this squad that just keeps turning over. But in the end, by the time he gets to these last few games, he's got himself a team that he can count on. You've got Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart is this is his rookie year. Brandon Bass is still on the team. Forgot about him. He's playing well. Evan Turner is starting to have an impact. Avery Bradley's having his impact. They have Tyler Zeller, who's serviceable, as we said. Jarebko is coming in off the bench. Gigi Datome, who, by the way, this is the final trade of this season for the Celtics. Tayshaun Prince back to Detroit. Jarebko Datome come in. Gigi is part of the Celtics now. And the Celtics, I mean, it's not a great lineup, but they're getting production out of these guys. And Isaiah is coming in off the bench. He was, we forget that when he came in, that's what he was a bench player. And there was a lot of discussion that next year about whether he should start or come off the bench. And I remember arguing like, hey, he's been coming off the bench all this time. If it works, then let's do it. Let's have it keep going on. But he's having monster games coming off the bench. And he's part of the reason why these Celtics go on that big winning streak and get into the playoffs. I don't think Danny Ainge wanted to get into the playoffs, but they did.
Yeah, they won something like 20 out of their last 29 or so after he joined the team. And he did miss a few games because they played in Miami about a couple of weeks after he got, maybe 3 weeks after he got with the team. And he had a nice night. He had 25 points. But he got injured by who else? Dwayne Wade, who knocked him flying when he was in midair, and Isaiah landed on his back and got like muscle spasms and a sore pelvis. And so he missed a bunch of games, but he came back and coming off the bench was working, like you said. And as long as he was still doing it, that was the reason to keep him doing it that way. As long as it was working. And he did have some nice games. He had a high of 34 points against Detroit in a win there. I mean, you could see right away that he was a great pickup. And I think he was another guy, as far as I'm concerned, another guy like Smart, where you have to watch him every night to appreciate him. I used to wonder, how does this guy do this? How does he score 20 points? It didn't seem to me like he was as good, or I didn't think he was as good as he really was. And with his lack of size, I just couldn't see how he could be effective. But when you see him play every night, you understood it. He had, not only was he lightning fast, but he had the moves and he had the savvy to get inside and still get a shot off over the big man.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I've spoken to Brad Stevens a couple times about Isaiah Thomas. He lights up when you talk about Isaiah Thomas. He loves talking about Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas goes on a run with the Celtics that is just ridiculous. And the 2016-17 season is going to be a fun one to talk about because that's one of the greatest individual offensive seasons in NBA history. Just amazing. And part of this resurgent Celtics team that lifts the value of all of these other guys and gets the Celtics in position to sign Al Horford and to bring in these major free agents and to make Boston a destination. And we talk about Brad Stevens and how he helps, and this is another point guard that thrives under his system. But it's the players as well that buy into his system, the players with the talent, the players, like, they all have to do it, and they have the talent to do it, but Brad Stevens finds a way to get the most out of these guys. How many guys have we talked about here that you look at them under Brad Stevens and it's like, wow, the value of these guys, the value that he has found just on this team alone. We're talking about Evan Turner, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder. I mean, that is, you know, three guys on this team, Avery Bradley, that they are, when they leave, at the peak of their value. And then they go somewhere else, and it's like, oh, well, that guy wasn't as good as we thought he was, or that guy wasn't fitting as well as we thought he would, because working under Brad Stevens' system, and this is part of what makes, like, Danny Ainge is getting a lot of the credit here for, hey, yeah, look, he got, at that point, Kyrie Irving for an injured Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, like, so it's another heist for Danny Ainge. We know how that worked out, but all of these players that he's moving are doing well under Brad Stevens, and their value is increasing in Boston. And then Danny Ainge is like, great, sell high, boom, go. And that's kind of what helps the Celtics get to this point today, is this flurry of moves and this flurry of success, overachieving. And it's all tied to getting to a point here now where guys come in, guys want to be here, guys want to play for Brad Stevens and succeed under Brad Stevens.
Yeah. I'd like to add that this season, where there was no expectations, nobody thought this was a playoff team, and you had all these players coming through. Not only did Brad get a lot out of them and get the most out of the team as a whole, and he was rebuilding and winning at the same time. And listen, these names, Dwight Powell, Jameer Nelson, Brandon Wright, Tayshaun Prince, every one of those guys came in by trade during the season and was here for a few weeks and then was traded away. So you had this constant turnover where you have to try to indoctrinate the new players into the system. And then just when they're starting to get comfortable, they're gone. Somebody else comes in and he's got to do it all over again. He managed to do that and still succeed. And he didn't win Coach of the Year, but he had, I think, an award-worthy season. And that was, as you say, what really started to take off and culminated in a couple of near trips to the finals.
You know, I don't see much difference between this season for Brad Stevens as far as Coach of the Year goes versus the year Doc Rivers got Coach of the Year. It was the same thing, and a team that we didn't expect to win much. They end up winning, like, Doc's team, I think, went 41-41. Celtics went 40-42.
In Orlando. That was in Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That was an overachieving team, and Brad Stevens did it with the much harder element, like you said, of two dozen players coming through. Like, he had almost two full NBA rosters that season, and you know, one of them was gone, and so that was an impressive year. Like, I think he definitely should have gotten more consideration, but how it goes.
You know, I won't get into it again, but you know, I've spoken my feelings about those things before, that the criteria seems to change from year to year and the narrative changes, and you just have to be in the right narrative at the right time to get considered. And this particular year, they didn't look at it the same as when Doc Rivers won it. So it's just inconsistent at best.
Just inconsistent. And so the Celtics do go into the playoffs. They get swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't even remember those playoffs. I'll be honest. Was there anything to remember in those playoffs? I don't remember anything in those playoffs.
Well, they got swept, but the games were not blowouts. They were pretty close. And the Celtics just obviously were outmatched. They didn't have anywhere near the talent that Cleveland had. And so if they had won one game, it would have been cause for a celebration. But the main thing was that for the first time in a while, we had optimism.
That's true. That was the big takeaway here. Optimism out of this this scrappy team. And now we're looking at a run for the Celtics that I think was unexpected. And when we look at Brad Stevens' coaching record, we didn't expect to see a winning record 2 years into the rebuild. But he goes from 25 wins in the first season, 2013-14, to now 40 wins in the 1915 season. And then next we'll talk about the 48-win 2016 team, and then the 53-win 2017. I mean, this is just a constant, like, progression for Brad Stevens. This team, though, was just fun. And even though my head spun throughout the whole thing, it was a lot of fun. There's still a lot more to come, but I think we need to just settle down, because when we pick this back up, the RJ Hunter era begins. And oh, baby, I'm going to talk a long time about RJ Hunter. The next two seasons are just fun. So much fun. And we're about to wrap up our historical deep dives. So thanks for everybody for listening and all of that stuff. We're going to go through the next few seasons, and that's going to be it. We're almost up to now. So, and hopefully we'll be able to wrap all this up as we get to, it's two more weeks to, finish up the history stuff, which is really no longer history anymore. Like, we're going right up to modern times. So, and then once this is done, games start, and we'll be talking about games and regular basketball. So good timing, I guess. We made it. We're making it. We're going to land this plane and then start talking about some real basketball. And hopefully we continue to talk about real basketball for the next few months. So please subscribe. If you are a new listener, thank you for sampling. Hopefully you've made it all the way to this part. If you're not, if there are no new listeners to this point, well, I'm just talking to nobody. Actually, I'm talking to all of you regular listeners who have supported this podcast from the beginning, and I really do appreciate you doing that. I appreciate the 5-star ratings and the good written reviews. If you haven't done that, please do that. It really, really helps. This is the number one Boston Celtics podcast anywhere, and it's all because you took the time to give those ratings and reviews. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. Now, go tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On NBA.